Wisconsin's Afternoon News is on the air, broadcasting live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at The Avenue in beautiful downtown Milwaukee. Here are your hosts, John McCure and Julia Fellow.
Thanks for hanging out with us. We're glad that you're with us on this Thursday as we brace for a little snow this weekend. But more on that coming up later on in the show.
So in the news yesterday, we were talking about how this Greenfield police chief is on paid administrative leave since the spring. And now we know why. So his name is Jay Johnson. He's still on administrative leave. So far, since he's been on administrative leave since April, he's been paid $75,000.
Wow.
I'll get to what his actual salary is. This is what he's accused of. It's a bombshell scandal rocking the city of Greenfield. The chief himself is now facing a felony misconduct charge. So he's accused of turning police surveillance equipment into his own personal security system. He's 58-year-old now. On administrative leave, police chief Jay Johnson, he's accused of using a department-owned poll camera as his private home in Wind Lake, all he claimed because of safety concerns from his divorce. Okay, so what's really interesting is that you have to use We Energies. It's a very sophisticated thing to install.
Right, it's not just something you pop on your garage, right?
So if you've been on Capitol Drive by the Walmart,
yeah,
sometimes you see Milwaukee police have something like this, or
yes,
if there's really big events,
yep,
it has the sign and there's a big pole and it connects to, you know, the command center of the city. So apparently, court records say in December of last year, he called the city's mayor of Greenfield in what the mayor described was frantic, fearful, saying his estranged wife was dating a felon. He was trying to get a restraining order. He feared for his life. But when that restraining order was denied, Johnson then made the request, prosecutors say, that crossed the line. He wanted to borrow the Greenfield Police Department's poll camera to mount outside of his home. Now, the mayor said that wasn't a good idea. You're in Racine County to begin with, okay? You're in a different county,
right?
So ask Racine.
Right.
So then there's emails in this court records. It's incredibly interesting. If you text Greenfield to 855-616-1620, Greenfield to our setting limit talk and text line, it'll take you to the whole page and a link to the criminal complaint. So we got off the phone, the city attorney with the chief, and there's actual the email here. And he says, the chief was not pleased with my opinion. This was December of last year. He said, quote, I think it's blank, expletive ludicrous. He argued that the prior chief had similar security at his house, and he even talked about security that Scott Walker had during Act 10, which the public provided. He kind of tried to explain that this is a lot different, and then he said the call ended abruptly.
Oh, boy. And then he did it anyhow?
He did it anyhow.
Oh.
Okay. So they even have, this is when you know it's a big case, when they have, like, text messages and images.
Yeah.
So this one, investigators say a captain and a detective helped him install the device and told him to keep things, quote, low key, and that the mayor had approval, which he hadn't.
Oh, no, that's not good.
So when this all came, like, you know, was revealed, the mayor reportedly offered Johnson a way out. Retire, take your pension, go quietly. But witnesses told investigators the chief blew his gasket, refused to leave, and that is when he was placed on administrative leave. Then came a social media storm. Prosecutors say the Greenfield chief started threatening the acting chief, Eric Lindstrom, with his life.
Oh, my
gosh. Posting cryptic messages online with phrases like, boom, here comes the boom, a lyric about gunfire, and signing off with the acting chief's initials. So that would be like me messaging you that and doing JM, John McCure.
Yeah.
Then in late August, things turned downright threatening. The Greenfield police got a phone call from a disguised voice mail. I'm not even going to say what it said because it's bad. Prosecutors say none of Johnson's claims about his ex-wife were ever substantiated, and that using the department gear for its personal gain is flat out an abuse of power. He now faces 3.5 years in prison. He's due in court November 10th, so Monday. Okay.
You just can't do this. If the allegations are true, you can't do this.
So he has been on administrative leave since last April, like I said. So he's been paid $75,000 staying at home and accused of using his time to threaten people. So last year, in 2024, his annual salary was $145,000, according to public records. So I thought if he had a defense attorney, okay, my life's being threatened, you could do something like that. There's so much evidence where he has a paper trail. If you're a police chief, you know not to do that.
And it wasn't substantiated. He says his life was in jeopardy, but it sounds like there's evidence that was never
denied.
Right, never substantiated. Wow, that's an interesting story. That's crazy. It's 4:14 at WTMJ. Traffic and weather up next. Then our Green and Gold Insiders with Green Bay Game Day host Alex Stroff.
From sidelines to the studios and everything in between, no one brings you closer to the action.
Micah Parsons is on the trajectory to a first ballot Hall of Fame. That's the trajectory he's on, just plain and simple what it is.
It's time to get caught up on the green and gold with today's insider, ESPN's Alex Stroff, on Wisconsin's Afternoon News.
What the hell's going on?
Hey, Alex.
Happy Thursday on a weird week for the Green Bay Packers.
It is a weird week. So coming off a really bad loss, let's put that in the rearview mirror. We've already talked about that quite a bit this week. Let's look ahead a little bit. The Philadelphia Eagles come to Lambeau. They're also having kind of a weird up and down year, it feels like, Alex. How good is this Eagles team?
Well, they're the reigning Super Bowl champions, so that's probably all I need to say, right? But you're right. It has been kind of a weird up and down year for them as well, but it seems like they're back on the right track. They've been able to establish their beast of running back in Saquon Barkley. They've got good defense, maybe not as good as it was a year ago when they won the Super Bowl and hoisted the Lombardi Trophy, but it's still a really formidable opponent. If you want to prove that you belong in the NFC and you belong in the conversation of a team that could make a run to the Super Bowl like the Eagles did a year ago, a win on Monday night would certainly be a positive for this Green Bay team coming off of a bad loss.
You know, we were asking Tausch who's to blame. Was it Jordan Love or was it Matt LaFleur? Tausch said Matt LaFleur. I mean, there can be communication errors. You know, things can happen. So what have they been working on this week with practice?
They're just getting back in the building today because it's kind of a weird week. This is technically a Wednesday today on this Thursday with them playing Monday night. So they had two off days each of the last 2 days. So we'll see. But really, I don't have an answer for you because they haven't practiced since the loss on Sunday. More of a walkthrough today and a real practice tomorrow. But I'm with Tausch. I think the play calling and Matt LaFleur's shortcomings have certainly been evident in both the losses and the tie this year. And while Jordan Love can certainly be better, I thought he was, outside of a few throws, really solid on Sunday. And he's been solid overall this year. But LaFleur, it seems like sometimes he just tries to get too cute or too tricky with it. And that was certainly, I think, one of the many reasons for the loss on Sunday.
Lambeau Field, they'll be back home at Lambeau. How intimidating is Lambeau? Is there a real home field advantage, like you could make the argument there clearly was in the past, or is it not as much of an advantage?
Yeah, I think it's lost its mystique. I think back in the late 90s and early 2000s, there was like a 28-29 game winning streak for the Packers when Brett Favre was the quarterback. When you went to Lambeau as an opponent, you lost. Not the case anymore, especially in this era of Packers football. Now, Vegas certainly still thinks it plays a role. The Packers 2.5-point favorites on Monday. But I don't know. I don't get that feel anymore. And we'll see. It sounds like it might snow on Monday, which I don't like in general, but I like as a football fan, if that makes any sense at all. But we'll see if the snow comes into effect. I don't know. But to answer your question, John, my answer would be no. I don't think it exists as much as it once did.
Alex Stroff is the host of Green Bay Game Day. He goes to the Tundra Trio, which GKB has. So it's right in the backyard. Alex, you see a lot of the fans going into the game. What are the Eagles fans like?
You know, it's been a few years since they've been up here, so I guess I don't really remember. I don't think they're as rude as maybe they get the rep on the internet. Typically, you see when visiting fans come to Green Bay, we bring out their nice side, I think, because everybody, as we talked about before, everybody always talks about how nice Packers fans are, how generous Packers fans are to visiting fans. So despite the rep that Philly fans have as being mean and wanting to fight, I think we bring out their nice side. But I'll report back on my findings next week, Julie, after the game. Because I'm going to the game on Monday. I would imagine there will be plenty of Eagles fans there, like there always is for visiting teams. But I'll do whatever I can to make friends with the Philly fans, because I don't know how well I would do in a fist fight.
If you have an extra ticket, I can be your bodyguard, Alex.
Oh, yeah.
That sounds like a great idea. Unfortunately, I don't have an extra ticket, but if I need anybody intimidating to back me up, I know who to call.
Alex, we don't like to talk a lot of in-depth X's and O's during the segment, but I do want to ask you about a play on the field that everybody's familiar with, the tush push, where the quarterback gets under center. They need a yard or less or something in that neighborhood, and they push the quarterback basically for that yardage. It seems like other teams in the NFL do not like that play. The Eagles have succeeded with it. Can you talk about the tush push, why it's effective, and whether it will be around after this year likely?
Well, I think it's important to add the context of this offseason that the Packers and Mark Murphy, one of his final moves as the president of the Green Bay Packers, was the one that brought the potential ban to the table. He wanted this play banned, as did several other NFL teams. But ultimately, they didn't get the three-quarters vote that they needed. 24 of the 32 teams needed a vote for it to be banned. That didn't happen, so it's back this year. And to your point, John, some teams can pull it off, but not many teams can pull it off. Philadelphia, obviously, the main team that's seen the most success with it, though their success rate has dropped. It's just a touch this year. Why is it effective? You've got really big linemen. You've got a big running back pushing a smaller quarterback in Jalen Hurts, who seems to be able to kind of wiggle his body into any opening to get that yard or two that they've been able to succeed with. So it's a fascinating play. I don't like it personally. It doesn't feel like football to me. And there was a game, I forget who they were playing earlier this year in the national game. It might have been that opener against Dallas, that opening Thursday in early September. They ran it three times in a row, second, third, fourth down, just to get 2 yards. And that's just, it doesn't feel like football to me. But will it be around? Your guess is as good as mine.
He is Alex Stroh, the host of Green Bay Game Day. Alex, thanks. We always appreciate the time you make for us.
Right back at you guys. Appreciate you having me. As always, we'll talk to you next week, hopefully after a win, and it's happier than it was this week.
All right. You got it, Alex. I love his energy. And if you haven't heard Green Bay Game Day, you need to check it out, because he does a great job, and it is really, really super interesting. Green and Gold Insiders is sponsored by the Bay by Window Nation. Green and Gold Insiders is Window Nation.
This is really difficult. I don't know if you've seen this video. It's gone around the world. You can see it if you text WATCH, WATCH to 855-616-1620. So what you're going to see is the current president of Mexico, Claudia Sheinbaum. She was in the middle of the street, and she was just meeting some people in the country. Now, Isaac is going to keep replaying it, so you might see some color bars, but he will keep on replaying it over and over. But what you will see is that she's shaking some people's hands and taking a photo, and you'll see a man comes. She looks. Do you see how she kind of notices him for a second?
Yeah.
Comes to her left, almost kisses her on the neck, and touches the 63-year-old's chest.
It's so creepy and inappropriate.
It's very inappropriate. Again, if you text WATCH, WATCH to our Setting Limit Talkin' text line, 855-616-1620. Our producer, Isaac Markhart, is going to be replaying it. Sometimes you'll see a color bar, but you can see the man reaches, almost pretty much kisses her neck, and then touches her chest.
Like almost from behind. Like he kind of reaches from behind and like basically cups her chest.
What is going on? So now there's a criminal complaint that has been filed against the man who groped her on camera, approached her, moved to kiss her, put his hand on her chest. She says that if this can happen to a president, what's going to happen to all the young women across our country? She ran to be president of Mexico to end violence against women. It was a centerpiece of her campaign. She wants laws in Mexico to now reconsider that sexual harassment is a crime right now in all Mexican states, even federally. It is not a crime, sexual harassment. Again, if you text WATCH to 855-616-1620, you can see the interaction. What kind of gets me, John, is that it's almost a movement. A lot of people are saying that is going on in Mexico. Many women are coming up saying, how unsafe is Mexico for women? Many women say that this has happened to them, especially in public areas, buses, trains, close areas. I could not believe that that country does not have sexual harassment. And then the president, this happens to the president of the country for something to change.
I can't believe that either. You know the other thing I can't believe? How does a random guy get this close to the president of the nation? This is a random person who was able to walk up to her and basically touch her inappropriately, stand right next to her. How is the security so lax? Can you see someone coming up to President Trump like this and touching him?
Okay, so now Isaac's been replaying it a few times, and it happens so quick. He'll keep replaying it if you text WATCH to 855-616-1620. He grabs her, both of her breasts from behind.
Right.
And
it's atrocious. It's terrible. It's obviously awful. How does the guy get right on top of her like that? Does she has a security detail because after he touches her, the security then steps in and moves the guy away. How's the guy not down on the ground either? The security moves in after they allow this guy to touch the president, and then they're like talking to him. They like walk him off.
Yes, there.
Why? I think you're right, though. It's partly cultural. It's partly, I don't want to make excuse for a whole culture, but there clearly are different parameters in play here. Even when the guy does that here,
no big deal.
That dude would be thrown on the ground. He's in handcuffs. He's getting taken away somewhere. There, it's like, sir, please, back away, sir. Please get away.
If someone, I'll give you an example. If someone did that to me, my husband would...
He'd be dead.
End him.
Yeah.
This happened to the president of Mexico.
Yeah.
So, you know, maybe it takes this to create change.
It is 4:42 at WTMJ. Traffic and weather is up next. And the air traffic situation, I'm going to let you know how it could possibly impact Milwaukee, what the airlines are doing if you have a flight scheduled, and the health of our airport right here in Milwaukee. It's a deeper dive on Mitchell International up next on WTMJ. All right. Thanks for hanging out with us. We've spent a lot of time talking about the government shutdown and what could be impacted. One sound that could be less common at U.S. airports coming up this weekend. Jets taking off from places like Chicago and New York. The last government shutdown, it was an air travel mess that actually led to the shutdown ending. This time, airlines are scrambling and passengers are panicking as the Federal Aviation Administration orders 10% of flights to be cut at 40 major U.S. airports. ABC's Jim Ryan says the government shutdown is at the heart of it all.
4477, turn right, heading 10.
The nation's aviation infrastructure relies on controllers being in their chairs in airport control towers and other FAA facilities. The controllers rely on their paychecks, and 6 weeks into the government shutdown.
Yeah, people are starting to get demoralized.
Air traffic controller Jack Chris is driving DoorDash to make ends meet. And among his coworkers,
we don't see an end in sight.
Jim Ryan, ABC News.
And airline leaders are weighing in. ABC's Nicole D'Antonio.
The safety concerns stem from air traffic controllers going unpaid during the shutdown, calling out sick and leading to staffing shortages. United Airlines saying it will offer refunds to anyone who does not wish to fly while the flight reductions are in effect. Frontier CEO going further, making this recommendation. If your flight is canceled, your chances of being stranded are high. So I would simply have a backup ticket on another airline.
Okay, so let's walk through this in some detail with the biggest carriers out of Milwaukee's airport. Southwest Airline says if your flight is canceled, and they're the biggest carrier at Milwaukee Airport, they will notify you using your contact information on file. You're going to get a text message. You're going to get an email. And Southwest says they will automatically rebook you on another flight that's as similar as possible. And you are eligible for a full refund if your flight is canceled and you choose not to travel, no matter what kind of ticket you bought. United Airlines. The CEOs saying the airlines will give customers several days advance notice regarding flight changes. So if you're scheduled to fly on Friday and it hasn't been canceled, it likely will not be. They're going to try to give multiple day notice. They say at United they'll focus on reducing regional flying and domestic flights that do not travel between hubs. And they are also lifting restrictions on canceling your ticket. American Airlines expects the vast majority of their customers to be unaffected. International travel, all going as scheduled. It will refund customers whose flights are canceled, quote, for any reason, and that customers can change their flight or request a refund without penalty. Delta Airlines, another big carrier out of Milwaukee, says customers traveling to, from, or through impacted markets, while the capacity limits are in place, can change, cancel, or refund their flights without penalty. Same deal for Frontier, which also flies out of Milwaukee, says customers will be notified via email, text, or the mobile app. And they've instituted a flexible policy where you can also change your stuff. So how is Milwaukee being impacted? I'm looking at the boards right now, the departure and arrival boards. Right now, departures, there's one delay and one cancellation. Arrivals, there are two delays, zero cancellations. That's a typical day at a busy airport. So it appears right now that our airport's not being impacted. Security lines are where they normally are. But airport officials are warning that today and tomorrow, and especially into Saturday, that could change. Lines could become longer. We're scheduled to fly out tomorrow morning. I'm sorry, not tomorrow. Saturday morning. Saturday morning, we're flying to New York City to see our new grandson, Theodore, for the first time. We're flying American Airlines. So we're scheduled to fly from Milwaukee to Chicago and then to New York. And we did that because there's less capacity from Milwaukee to New York than there used to be. And so we're flying through Chicago because we get there faster. So that's why, but we also still wanted to fly out of Milwaukee. So that's why we're not flying direct. So we're nervous. I just checked the mobile app. So far on our schedule, it's all good, but that could change. Right now, our flights are good. But it doesn't really matter because we're going to walk, we're going to hike. I'm going to take a pogo stick if I have to get to New York, but we will get to New York. But we, like a lot of other people, are now thinking through the backup plan. Do you rent a car? Do you try to book on another carrier?
I was going to ask
you
that.
And I hope you can cancel.
Because that's what Alex Stone was saying, that some people are recommending, you know, book another flight.
Right.
And then you can get a refund
that
later.
Flight if you can get a refund.
Ugh.
Yeah. So those are all options. The disruptions are beginning to pile up at other places, though. And retired Air Force pilot and aviation investigator Jeffrey Needles is warning ABC News that if the shutdown doesn't end soon, the country could see even more draconian answers to try and ensure safety as air traffic control workers worry about their own pay and how to take care of their family.
When you have air traffic controllers who are worried about, am I going to pay my bills this month? Or there are other internal personal stress items like that that are eating up some of their emotional bandwidth, if you will. Then they're not going to bring their A game, and that's really the concern.
So you know how it is when you have stuff going on in your work life, when you have a financial pressure, when you have a family issue, it impacts work. We all try to compartmentalize and still do our job, but when you got stuff kicking around in the back of your mind, and especially if it's as serious as I can't go to the grocery store, I can't pay my utility bill, it can impact your job. And when you're an air traffic controller, that impacts safety for all the rest of us, obviously problematic.
You've been in an air traffic control tower before.
Yeah.
I mean, how intense?
It's stressful. It's intense.
Is it?
Really, really intense. Really, really focused. Really, really a lot going on. So what about our airport here in general? What about the health of our airport? Well, flights are down this year. And it's the first time in 4 years that our flight loads are down in Milwaukee. Now, the industry in general is also down, so it's not Milwaukee. So that's the good news. In May, Spirit Airlines announced that they were adding new service to L.A., Nashville, Baltimore, Detroit. Well, guess what? Spirit Airlines just announced now that they're stopping flying at all out of Milwaukee. We reported that. They're going bye-bye. Adam Roberts detailed that out for us. Fort Myers, gone. Vegas, gone. Orlando, gone. Tampa, gone. L.A., Nashville, Baltimore, never happened. They're out of here. So we do at our airport, how many nonstop cities do you think our airport serves? From Milwaukee, how many places do you think you can fly nonstop?
I would say 24.
Pretty good guess. So you say 24. It's about 30 different cities. So good guess.
More than I thought.
From Southwest. Southwest, which is the biggest carrier, flies nonstop to 16 cities. So from our airport, you can fly to places like Atlanta, Austin, Baltimore, Boston, Charlotte, Dallas, Denver, Detroit, Houston, Kansas City, Vegas, Miami, Minneapolis, Nashville, New York, Orlando, Philadelphia, Phoenix, Salt Lake City, San Diego, Sarasota, Seattle, St. Louis, Tampa, and Washington. We will keep an eye on this for you. We'll let you know. There will likely be developments today and tomorrow when Wisconsin's Afternoon News is on the air. And we'll continue to monitor what is happening at our airport. What the government shut down, the TSA, and air traffic controller crisis means for Milwaukee. Full coverage here on WTMJ.